This is Connie Stevens from the WVTF Radio IQ Newsroom. Starting next year, everyone will be required to have health insurance. With it brings a new challenge for many Virginians, navigating the new health insurance marketplace to see if the promise of affordable coverage for people who don't get insurance at work really comes true. Plenty of questions remain about the Affordable Care Act, but there are already some hints about how it will work. At the Roanoke Times, reporters Lawrence Hammack and David Ress have been working on an occasional series on the topic, and this weekend the paper will again feature some of their findings. We get a preview of this latest installment from reporter Lawrence Hammack. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
For listeners who didn't catch your interview with us last month or didn't read part one of your series, why don't you summarize the first part of the work?
Sure. The goal of this series, which will run occasionally between now and the end of the year, is to take an issue, the Affordable Care Act, that has played out for the last 3 years on a national stage, whether it's in Congress or before the U.S. Supreme Court, or more recently being a major issue in the presidential election. And now that that act is now the law, we are attempting to explain as best we can to our readers how it affects them here in Southwest Virginia. The first installment that we did was about the proposed expansion of Medicaid. That is the government program for low-income and disabled people. And it is, I guess, in terms of the safety net for those who cannot afford health insurance, Medicaid is the bottom tier. It is for the most, the poorest of the poor. And the question in Virginia is whether or not to expand that program to include people who make up to 138% of the federal poverty guideline. That was pretty much the focus of our first installment. The second installment, which is running this coming Sunday, looks at the exchange system. It's also been called a marketplace, and it is the second tier of the safety net for people. It will cover those, many of them who have jobs, but who don't make enough right now to afford insurance. And they will qualify not for a complete write-off of their medical cost, but for subsidies that will be calculated on a sliding scale depending on how much they make. Someone who conceivably makes up to 400% of the federal poverty guideline, and that level right now is about $11,000 for an individual and about $23,000 for a family of four. Someone who conceivably makes up to four times that would be eligible for some sort of discount.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of work ahead of you. I saw that recent Kaiser Family Foundation survey that found that many people, for some reason, don't even think the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare, still exists. Why this confusion?
That's a good question. And I think part of it is that several reasons. Partly, it sort of defies a simple explanation. It's so complicated that it's really hard to get your hands around it. And secondly, I think some of the confusion might be due to the fact that it's still the subject of debate. You know, even though it seems, at least in the short term, inconceivable that it would be repealed, there are still
37 times, maybe.
That's right. Yeah, I think maybe they're up to 38 or 39. And there's this constant drumbeat among opponents that it's not going to work. And I think that probably also feeds into people's confusion. The law, many parts have already gone into effect, although the biggest ones have yet to kick in and will on January 1st of next year.
And I imagine that's also part of the confusion, is that not every state will implement the ACA the same way. What approaches so far are you finding that are maybe unique to Virginia, or can we put that Virginia stamp on?
Well, you're right. I mean, many states are taking different routes. Virginia is, as far as the exchanges or the marketplace goes, and just a real quick summary of what the marketplace is first. Again, it is the system where someone who is sort of in the low to moderate income range can purchase subsidized insurance from private carriers, whether it be Blue Cross or Anthem or what have you, but with some government subsidy that makes it more affordable. And the marketplace, as it's called, the best analogy, I think, is that it's very similar to shopping for airfare on the website Expedia or Orbitz or what have you. You go to the website, you log in. Once you are verified as having met the income criteria, you shop for the kind of insurance plan that you would like, you know, as opposed to booking a flight with United versus Delta. You know, you're looking at rates for one insurance company compared to another, and you essentially sign up. And it, the way it was envisioned, it remains to be seen as to whether this will actually happen. But the way it was first planned is that this will be a one-stop shopping experience where you go on, you qualify, you pick your plan, and it's all done in one fell swoop. There have been some bumps just within the past few weeks, but right now the government assures us that open enrollment on the marketplace is scheduled to begin the 1st of October.
We still hear some dour predictions that insurance through this marketplace will still be quite expensive, not affordable. Are you seeing anything to support that?
Well, I mean, a lot of that, I think, will probably be determined in the next half year or maybe longer than that. The system does depend on people who currently don't have insurance, who may not necessarily need it right now, who are young and healthy, to go ahead and enroll, whether it's through the marketplace or if they have the capabilities financially through their own resources. There has to be that buy-in, I think, from a very large segment of the population before it is self-sustaining in the way that it is expected to be. And certainly the critics have said that by including so many more people who previously have been uninsured, that it will result in higher premiums for everyone. The supporters, while conceding that that might be true to some degree, although it's still unknown how much we will all pay for premiums, the supporters still say that the fact of the matter is we have so many people right now who have no insurance, who have serious medical conditions, and there is absolutely no recourse, whether it's Medicaid or subsidized insurance right now. There's nowhere for these people to go. And the overriding goal, I think, of the Affordable Care Act is to make health care accessible for all. And that even though there is a safety net to some degree, whether it be Medicaid or charity care or whatever, the supporters say that there are enough holes in the safety net that we need to go forward with the implementation of the Affordable Care Act.
Well, for those who already have health insurance through their jobs or those on Medicare, will they be affected in any way?
Not directly, not at first. There is a question about down the road, will they be paying higher premiums? The reality is, as we all know, those of us who have been lucky enough to have insurance through our employers, the costs have already been rising over the last 10 years or more for a variety of different reasons. The difficulty will be trying to parcel out, if they continue to increase, how much of that is a direct result of the Affordable Care Act and how much is just the complexity and just how expensive healthcare is right now for everyone.
I know you've had decades of experience as an investigative journalist. You've spent years poring through different court documents that are complicated with this particular issue. Have you had any surprises in your research?
I've had a lot of surprises, I think. The healthcare beat is relatively new to me, so it's a challenge for me to be jumping into this at a time when there's such a far-reaching and complicated topic that is affecting us all. I am far from an expert, but I've listened to many experts who have devoted their lives to healthcare policy, you know, who have just talked at great length about just how complicated this task is. Bill Hazel, the secretary in Virginia for Health and Human Services, I think I heard him talk at a seminar once, and he said, putting a man on the moon is simple compared to what we're trying to do with this.
And even on the individual level, I mean, there are some of us who have problems enough just filling out our tax forms. This does sound a bit daunting.
It will be. And a further challenge is that many of the people who would benefit the most from this are the ones who have perhaps the least access to the internet, which is what you, this is going to be an online, in large part, marketplace. You're going to have to log on, and for many people, that's going to be unfamiliar territory.
Have you heard that addressed in Virginia at all, that issue of access to the internet and just even understanding of the internet?
A little bit. Virginia is one of those states that is not creating its own marketplace. It had that option. It chose not to. It is relying on the federal government's model. So many of those questions will go more to the Obama administration, the Department of Health and Human Services, or what have you, as opposed to officials in Virginia. The authority that Virginia is maintaining over the marketplace is through the State Corporation Commission. They are monitoring the individual insurance carriers who will be offering plans on the marketplace. And the Bureau right now, and actually David Ress, my colleague, has spent many hours going through many, many hundreds of pages of filings that these insurance companies have recently made with the Bureau of Insurance to try to get, at least right now, a rough ballpark idea of how much these premiums are going to cost. Although the details right now are still unknown, even though we're less than 3 months from the launch date.
The logistics of this, we really are ready. You're saying we're going to see some movement in early October. This is supposed to really be in place in January.
Correct.
How is everything going on schedule so far?
Well, the government says that they're ready to go, or will be ready to go, on October 1st as far as open enrollment beginning. People will sign up for plans. They won't become effective until the 1st of next year. But there is a major, it appears, logistical problem right now. The government is currently finishing building what is a huge data hub that all of the exchanges in all 50 states will be using, essentially to verify a potential enrollee's income, citizenship, and just a number of other things before they can sign them up for insurance. And basically, this data hub is going to be a conduit to all sorts of different agencies that will be feeding all sorts of different information about this person into the system so they can enroll. That data hub, it's questionable as to whether it will be fully operational on October 1st. There was a report just last month by the General Accounting Office that indicated that a lot of work still remains to be done on that system. So it's very conceivable, I think, that even though the government is saying we'll be ready to go, I think it will be a bit of a challenge for them to have. It's such a massive undertaking, so much data that they're trying to centralize, that could be a potential glitch down the road.
Well, it sounds like a lot of work for so many ahead, including you. Thanks for stopping by, Lawrence Hammack. We look forward to your piece, written also with David Ress, and you can find it in this Sunday's edition of the Roanoke Times.